Nissan Gemini 12. I'd like to introduce these gentlemen to you. As you look at the stage from your right, Mr. G. Merritt Preston, Deputy Director for Launch Operations for NASA's Kennedy Space Center and Gemini Launch Mission Director. Next, Major General Vincent G. Houston, Commander of the Air Force's Eastern Test Range and Deputy for Department of Defense Manned Space Flight Support. Dr. George E. Miller, Associate Administrator for Manned Space Flight, NASA Headquarters. Mr. Charles Matthews, Gemini Program Manager, NASA Manned Spacecraft Center. Brigadier General Paul Cooper, Commander, Air Force Space Systems Division. Colonel Otto Ledford, Commander, 6555th Aerospace Test Wing. Dr. Miller?
Good afternoon. This is the last of the post-launch press conferences for the Gemini program, and I surely am pleased that it is such a wonderful afternoon for all of us. The flawless flight of the Atlas Agena and of the Gemini launch vehicle are now matters of history, and they cap some 12 Gemini launch vehicle flights and represent a perfect sequence of success. My congratulations to the launch crews who contributed to a perfectly trouble-free countdown on both the Atlas and the Titan launch vehicles, and led to the successful flight so far of Gemini 12 and its companion Atlas Agena. Liftoff was as close as we have come in past launch attempts, and was well within the tolerance that we had available. We were something like 1.3 seconds early in the Atlas Agena liftoff. We were within 0.45 seconds of the exact liftoff time in the Gemini. The orbital parameters, the perigee was 86.8 nautical miles versus 87 for the Gemini launch vehicle, and an apogee of 146.1 versus 151 desired. Just a few 5 miles low in apogee. With respect to the Agena, the perigee was 158.3 nautical miles and an apogee of 163.8 nautical miles. Again, my thanks to each and all of the crews, NASA, Air Force, industry, that has made the Gemini program such an outstanding success.
Thank you, Doctor. General Houston?
Well, as far as the range and the DOD forces, there isn't anything to be said. Everything was green all the way around. The fact, again, that this is the last launch in the Gemini series, I feel I must congratulate General Cooper and his Space Systems Division, who have been the people responsible for the development, production, quality control, and launch of these vehicles in a very precise manner in which they have met the requirement. I think they've done an extremely outstanding job, and the contractors who have been involved in carrying out this effort for them. As far as the DOD support of the mission, the job has just begun for us. Everybody is in position, and we're ready to carry it out to its successful completion. Paul?
General Cooper?
This being the 12th launch, I must say that it's indeed a very proud day for the Air Force. I think it's significant that today is also Veterans Day, because the Air Force performed like veterans. Now that number 12 is launched, and from the standpoint of the Gemini launch vehicle, I'd like to speak to the 100% safety record, in that this 100% safety record was certainly no accident. The program was very deliberately conceived and very precisely executed. And this was done by the most dedicated and the most highly motivated Air Force industry team that exists in the free world. Starting in with the program manager in Los Angeles and his Air Force aerospace team, his contractors in the field, Martin Company, Aerojet General, GE Burroughs and the like, and the launch crews here at the Cape under Colonel Ledford and Jack Albert. It certainly was no accident that we had 12 in a row. I think we can say now it's a result of the millions of hours of tender loving care, and it looks like this has paid off. With regard to the Gemini Agena team, again, I salute the program office in Los Angeles and under Colonel Gardner and the Lockheed Missiles and Space Company, Bell Aerosystems. I note that although this isn't the end of the road for Agena, they have launched over 200 in a Agena vehicles, and there's more work for this workforce in the future. This was the 500th Atlas delivered by General Dynamics to Convair. Dr. Miller and I were privileged to join Mr. Bowers in San Diego and witness the rollout several weeks ago. I salute Convair and North American, Acoustica, and GE Burroughs again, as well as their launch teams here at the Cape. We certainly regret that this program is ending. However, it's been a tremendous privilege to play such a large role here in the Gemini program as the Air Force has with the Gemini launch vehicle, the Atlas Agena target vehicle. And we certainly wish NASA the best of luck in the future.
Thank you, General. We can't see too well out toward you, but we'll now do our best to recognize you and take any questions you have, please. George Alexander here in the front row.
George Alexander. Chuck, you apparently had some communications problems right after the spacecraft went into orbit. Could you tell us something about it as best you know them?
As best as we know, we did not have any communications problems on board the spacecraft. In the pass over the Eastern Test Range, the pass is a very low pass, particularly over Ascension, and communications were not received at that particular time. The initial attempts at communication at Tananarive were entirely satisfactory. It's my understanding they have checked out the communications both as far as their primary and backup UHF and their various antenna systems, and it's operating satisfactorily.
Mary?
Chuck, there was also some comment about the NO2 pressure or regulator or something like that. Do you know what that was?
I don't know the details on that, Mary, except there was no indications of a problem on the ground based on telemetry. So I don't think there's anything there unless it would be an in indicator.
Mr. O'Toole, right. You're currently shooting for an M equals 3 rendezvous right now. Now, can you tell me exactly when that will take place, where it will take place, and what orbits the two vehicles appear to be flying in now, and what azimuths? Is everything going all right for M equals 3 over Tenerife?
Yes, I don't really have my flight plan with me. Press, can you help on that?
I think the time is three hours and 40 minutes, isn't it, after liftoff for rendezvous. Isn't that right?
I'm not sure.
Tom, it appears it'll be right on the flight plan since we got off right on time, that your flight plan should stand up. I'm sure Terry White will be coming in with more reports on that. Yeah. See, we came from the control center here, and we'll be looking to them for that data.
Did we understand correctly that before the Atlas Agena launched, there was some kind of telemetry problem on Bermuda, some computer? Did I understand correctly, and what was it? Or also, why was the orbit 5 miles too low? Why was that pass too low?
I'll answer the second one and say that that's well within our nominal tolerances.
So that is just the way it should have been. Sue?
I didn't hear the first question.
Computer trouble at Bermuda?
We'll check on that computer thing. Terry White did mention it from Houston. I understand it was a very minor problem. It started off where it wasn't mandatory for the flight, and by the time he mentioned the fact that we had a red light on it, I believe it was fixed. So it was very minor. We can check it later for you if you wish.
Was that a Bermuda, Jack?
Yeah.
That's
where I understood it. Can't see back there. Go ahead, Mary.
Dr. Miller, I would just like to know how you feel on this occasion, which is sort of the end of one era and the opening of a new one.
Well, sort of expectant for 4 days, and then I won't say relieved, but pleased indeed with the Gemini program and looking forward to the Apollo program.
All right, Snyder.
Was there any conversational tidbits that anybody picked up other than pilot talk?
No.
I didn't
get the question, really.
Was there any conversation?
Does that answer your question, Art?
The answer is no.
Yes. Yes, the answer is no.
Inasmuch as Aldrin has done a thesis on Rendezvous, will he be playing a bigger role in this particular mission on Rendezvous than other pilots in the past?
Did you?
No, we actually have, of course, trained each one of the right-hand pilots to do the computational navigators-type task on Rendezvous. Certainly, Astronaut Aldrin's background is a great aid to this, but he will be doing the same job that was done by the other astronauts in that particular seat.
Mr. Bloom?
I know this is probably a futile question, but did the astronauts take anything personal, any personal trinkets or anything into space with them?
The astronauts generally take some personal things that are discussed after the mission is over.
I'll get back to you two ladies since you've already had questions. We'll go to Houston now and take, I believe we have one question there, then we'll come back here.
Question.
No questions from Houston. Okay, Sue, do you have a question?
Dr. Miller, you may not be able to answer this, but since the Russians did not come with the United Nations delegation, have you been informed in any way why, or given any reason, plausible or otherwise, why they declined the invitation?
No.
Mary?
Otto, you've done a lot of hard work, but I wondered what in Europe opinion is the cause for what General Cooper says, the 100% safety record, also your 100% record on getting the rockets off and good flight.
I think you had the key right there, Mary. I think it's a lot of hard work. Pride and workmanship, professionalism that was demonstrated here today. A lot of work.
Do we have any other questions? Mr. Wilford over here, way over in the corner there. John, this looks very complicated. Could you move over a little bit, please?
What's going to be the schedule for change of shift briefings tonight?
John, I'll have to check that. I don't know what time the team goes off. We'll get that for you and announce it as soon as shortly. We'll check with MSC and get the exact numbers for you. Howard?
No, we can't let Dr. Miller get away without at least one Apollo question. Dr. Miller, when do you expect to be down here for another man launching?
Next year, Howard. Next year.
All right.
I'd like to ask Chuck Matthews how he felt when he saw the last of his babies take off this afternoon.
Well, I guess I have to say that I never completely get used to this, and I felt about the same way I've felt in all the launches of anticipation and the feeling that this team had done everything they could to make the launch successful. I think we do have to recognize that there is a element of risk. We felt we could operate 12 out of 12, which was certainly accomplished. I also feel that now is a fairly good time to stop Gemini and go on to bigger things.
Sanders, you've mentioned several times how smooth it was, and it certainly appeared so. Was it the smoothest?
I believe it was as smooth as any we've had, Sandy. It was absolutely no problems anywhere along the way.
George Alexander. Chuck, can you tell us what sort of a job you've worked yourself into? Now that the, well, in 4 days from now, your Gemini job will be over with?
Well, we decided to concentrate on this mission, George, and we'll be talking about that after the mission's over.
See no more hands from those barely as I can see. Thank you very much. That completes the conference.